Lord, we're so thankful that this morning that the tomb is empty. Lord, you conquered over all. And one of the greatest things that we can do today is declare that to all who will give an ear. We're thankful that we can come into this place and worship you, to sing to you, Lord, to declare your goodness and love. And as we're here, we also desire that your word would speak to us. God, that you would reveal to us the beauty of who you are and the blessing that we have. The very one who placed everything in its proper place, who spoke everything into existence, who made everything out of nothing, knows our name. How blessed are we? And I pray that today, God, you would continue to be our teacher, that you would speak into our hearts this morning as we open up your word. Bless this time, Lord. I pray that you would keep all distractions away and that, Lord, there would be nothing right now hindering us from hearing your sweet voice. So please come, be our teacher, pour out your spirit, and we thank you for your amazing love, grace, and your mercy. Bless this time now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, church. How's everyone doing? All right, all right. Turn to your neighbor and say, what's up? It's so good to be here with you. And once again, happy Mother's Day to all of you. And I want to give a shout out to my mom. Mom, love you. Linda, love you too. Happy Mother's Day. But mom, your number one son says I love you. I also want to give a shout out to my wife, my beloved Marisa. Happy Mother's Day. For all you other mothers, happy Mother's Day as well. Today, we're going to continue our study in the Gospel of Mark. And so please open up your Bibles to chapter 13. And while you're turning there, I just want to welcome everybody once again who's visiting for the first time. We're so thankful that you're here with us and pray that you would be blessed by the service. And Lord willing, you got one of those cards that gives more information concerning the church. So you're more than welcome to approach any pastor if you have any questions. The tough questions, don't forget, steve@calvarysg.com. Just kidding. He's one of our pastors. Anyways. But this morning, if you do not have a Bible, please raise your hand. We would love for you to be able to follow along with us. And if you do not have one personally, please consider that a gift from us to you. And while you're turning there, I do want to just encourage you, if you have never been on a short-term mission trip, we are getting ready to head over to Mexico on May 30th through June 2nd. We have a trip where we are going to do a few different things, and there's a construction project that we have in mind to help out with one of the ministries that we support, as well as getting some ladies together to host a ladies' tea for one of the churches. And so if you are interested in that, please sign up at the Connection Center. And again, I'll tell you, it is an amazing thing when you get an opportunity to go and just watch how God will use you, get you out of your comfort zone, and just, you know, experience ministry like never before. And so short-term trips can make a life-changing experience happen. And so please consider it, pray over it, and then if you would like, sign up at the Connection Center, and we'll go from there. Sound good? What y'all got against Mexico? Come on. I'm just kidding. Well, listen, here we are this morning, and I want to invite you, if you can, to please stand. We're going to begin reading in verse 24. And, you know, God's so good. We had a full week of ministry, and then yesterday's ladies' conference was, I've been hearing a lot of the ladies talking about it, and there's some of you sporting the t-shirt today, so that's totally cool to see, but the guys' t-shirts are better anyways. But yes, and I pray that the seeds that were planted yesterday will continue to grow, and I'm excited for the next one. You ladies are going to get blessed. They're going to get better and better each and every year. And so for those of you who came, tell another sister who didn't all about it, and then get them excited about the one next year, okay? All right, with that, we're going to begin Mark chapter 13, verse 24. But in those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will fall, and the powers in heaven, in the heavens, will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. God, we again come before you this morning, and we pray, God, as we seek after you, just as we sang in the song, that as we seek you, God, you will speak. You will give us your truth. And I pray that today, may we have a better understanding of the questions that were asked. And Lord, again, when it comes to prophecy, when it comes to end times, Lord, the reality is you're the only one that knows the hour and the day when you will complete your work of redemption, when you will do all things that you desire from the very beginning, restoring this world that you created, to walking with your creation, to living in a perfect world where there's no more sin, where there's no more death, where there's no more pain. And because this is your story, God, we pray that we would receive from you this morning. So would you please come and fill us with more of you? And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. You know, one of the things that I wanted to share with you really quickly, and that was pretty loud. One of the things I wanted to share with you, and that is, I want to try and develop this picture, because what I believe that the Lord is wanting us to see in chapter 13 is a challenging chapter, but it is also a chapter that should get us excited, knowing that we're closer to seeing Jesus. And if you understand, if you've been walking with the Lord, when we get to see Jesus face to face, that means we win. And the reality is that there's going to come a time when God will step up. He will rise up from the throne that he is sitting on, and he will come and deal with sin once and for all. He will deal with Satan, and from that point on, he will be able to restore everything the way that he always desired, which is in a perfect world. And along the journey, listen, sometimes what could happen is that we as believers can lose sight of what's happening now because we're looking too far ahead. Let me give you an example. I remember in the Philippines, I discovered that I have two ruptured discs in my back, L4 and L5. And I had to leave the island that we were on, go to another island for 6 weeks. And the doctor told me, I'll get you back walking. I'll get you to lose some weight, and you won't need a surgery. Just give me the 6 weeks. He goes, and at the end of the 6 weeks, if it doesn't work, then you can go to another doctor. You're too young to have a surgery. I will not do it. And I like that attitude, you know? And so I went, and what an amazing 6 weeks. I mean, I felt like I was a boxer. Like, I was in some training. I was 2-ish pounds. But in that 6 weeks, I actually lost 30 pounds. And it was amazing. My wife was all like, she's all like, get that guy back. I'm working on it, babe, working on it. But I went and I came home, and what he laid out for me, I did everything, and it wasn't easy. It was hard. But I came back home. I was able to walk. I was able to tie my shoe. I could sneeze without buckling over in pain, and everything was great. And the like the first couple of nights was going great. And then all of a sudden, in the back of our home, we heard some noise. So I went out and I took a flashlight and I took a step in the back side of the house onto a concrete concrete thing that was there. It was basically the septic tank. And I stood on it and I was looking about 20 feet ahead with the flashlight. And I was so concentrating on what was in front of me and trying to figure out where that noise was that when I took the very first step, I didn't realize there was a hole. And I stepped into it and my back went out. Like after just doing all of this work, I was too focused on what was ahead so far that I didn't even realize what happened with the very first step. And I believe with all my heart, this is what Jesus is wanting these disciples to see here. You're asking me these questions about things that are not going to happen immediately. God establishing his kingdom is going to be way down the line. I'm more concerned about what you do today. I'm more concerned about how you're presenting yourself to this world right now. And I believe throughout this whole chapter, he's going to give them the warnings. He's going to give them some signs. He's going to give them some specific time frames. But there are still some question marks as to when these things will actually happen. You guys remember the phrase in parentheses, let the reader understand? And Pastor Matt said this, the questions are easy to ask. It's harder to understand the answer. And that's what prophecy is like, because there are a lot of people who may have different opinions. But last week, I want to just highlight a couple of things. And as one disciple was fascinated by the beauty of the temple, and as they were leaving, as in awestruck as he may have been, listen, Jesus revealed very clearly that the temple would be destroyed. This was one of the things that they basically, Jesus would reveal. And after revealing that, they would walk away from the temple, head up a mile to the Mount of Olives, and then the two sets of brothers, remember them? Peter, James, John, and Andrew. Listen, these two sets of brothers come to Jesus privately, and they asked him three questions. Remember those questions? One was, when will these things be? When will the temple be destroyed? What will be the signs? Give us a clue. Let us know. And then, of course, in Matthew's account, the other question was, is when will the end of the age be? So remember how the disciples are rolling, okay? Whenever Jesus would tell them about things ahead, they were more concerned about who's the greatest. And it's showing right here in these questions, because what are they saying? Let's go to Jesus privately so that we'll know what's going on before the others do. So they come privately. They ask Jesus these three questions. And here's what I want us to see. Their own understanding of the Messiah was off. What they believed and what they understood was that when the Messiah would come, he would immediately deliver. Listen carefully. He would immediately deliver the nation of Israel from Rome and establish God's kingdom immediately. Okay? And so one of the things that I pray that we would see here is this. There's going to be some time. But I also want you to know this. I want you to see a quick glimpse of what caused them to be in awe about the temple. Okay? I know that the people upstairs are going, oh no, he passed his one point. You ready to get to it? All right, she gave me a thumbs up. Here we go. Why were they so in awe of the temple back then? And we got Sandy here, who's our model. This is a photo taken back in March of 2023. Where we're standing is right beneath, up above here, is the Wailing Wall. This is known as the Rabbinical Tunnel. Where Sandy is standing with her hand here, all the way down where I was standing and taking the picture, which I should have taken probably another two steps back so that you could have seen the whole entire one slab of stone. Notice from here all the way up around and about maybe another foot beyond here. But some believe that majority of the stones that they used to build the city walls were, listen, could be literally 30 feet long, 12 feet high, and 8 feet wide. So you can understand why some of the disciples, or maybe that one disciple, was kind of puzzled when Jesus says the temple is going to be destroyed. There's not one stone that's going to be remaining, and you're going to see a major destruction take place. And so Jesus immediately would then have these four guys again approach him and ask him. And what Matt covered last week, I just want to touch really briefly, but he went through some of Jesus' answer. And what I want us to see is that Jesus revealed, listen carefully, events that would happen near and in the future. Again, prophecy could be difficult to understand. But the reality is, what Jesus' point in giving him all of these answers, all of the direction that he gave them, beloved, listen carefully, was to remind them, yes, the end is coming, but don't look so far ahead that you forget how to live in the present. It is so important that you understand what your mission is, what your calling is. And remember with me that Jesus was not only preparing the disciples for the cross, he was preparing them for future ministry. They would be the ones that would take the gospel after Jesus would die and resurrect. They were the ones, they were the pillars of the church. And so Jesus said again, the destruction of the temple is going to happen, but it was a near event and a far one. And what I want us to see here is this. Pastor Matt walked us through four things. The first thing he said was to take heed, to be careful. What was Jesus warning the disciples and even us today? Don't be deceived. Beloved, if you really want to know what God's will is and what God's overall plan, you have to dig into the Word of God. You have to know what the Word of God is saying, because when you know the Word of God, you will be able to hear a lie when it comes your way. I want to challenge anybody who goes and steps foot in a church. If they're not encouraging you to open up your Bible and follow along with them, find another church. You're not there just to hear fairy tale stories or videos and try to come up with a spiritual point or make your ears feel, you know, tickle your ears with good news. Listen, a good church is going to teach the whole counsel of God. A good church is going to tell you the truth that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. We all are. And as much as we may not like that truth, it is the truth. And that's why Jesus came, to give us hope that we won't remain sinners, but that we would be able to know the truth. And the truth is what sets us free. And it is the truth that gives us the opportunity to have an intimate and personal relationship with God. And so don't be deceived. Until God's kingdom is established, there are going to be a lot of false Christs that come. There are going to be a lot of false gospels that people, there'll be some prophets that will pop up, self-proclaimed prophets. We saw a lot of that happen right after COVID. And the reality is Jesus told his disciples, and he's warning us, don't be deceived. Remember the truth of the gospel. The second thing that Matt encouraged us with was don't be troubled. When you start seeing and hearing of all of the wars that are going on, when you hear of all the earthquakes and the famines and the deadly pestilence that will take place, all of the deadly disease, all of the viruses that are happening, they've been happening from the beginning and they're going to continue to happen. And Jesus warned them and us, don't get freaked out about it. Don't be troubled by it. One of the things that is important for us to understand is that Jesus said they will happen. And you want to know why you don't need to be troubled? Because Jesus said very clearly, it's not the end yet. There's still a lot more time. That's why God is known as a long-suffering God, because he's giving many people more and more opportunities to come to that saving knowledge of who he is. And so when you start hearing of all of these things, he says these are just the beginning of sorrows. He went on to warn them with, watch out for yourself. In other words, as you wait for the kingdom of God to be established, understand and know persecution is coming. Yeah, I knew I wouldn't get an amen for that one. He says, I want you to understand you're going to be hated by this world. You are going to, listen, be beaten because of me. Because you believe in me, the world will hate you. One of the things that we if you don't understand this, you and I need to be thankful that we're not living in the Middle East. Because those believers in the Middle East understand and know what persecution is like. I've never had a death threat or something painted on my door telling me I can't preach the gospel. I've never had anybody threaten me or my wife if I keep spreading the gospel that they would do stuff to my family. I may have received an email saying, why are the chairs blue? Okay, that's not persecution. Okay? But the reality is we don't know, and I'm not belittling if you got fired because you're a believer or you've experienced things that what is still considered persecution. I'm just saying we haven't seen the magnitude of what others have. And the reality is Jesus was wanting them to understand and know this. Watch out. These things are going to happen, but the gospel still must be preached, because in those hardships and those difficulties, it's when God desires for our testimony to be heard. And that testimony will be as how good God is, despite the madness that's going on. Beloved, if you are here today and you are thinking that there is no hope, you're just looking with what you can see. And you're forgetting all about what God has done. That's why it's important for us to keep our heart and our attitude in the right place. And that's in the Word of God, looking up and trusting Him. And when we do that, again, we'll endure. The Holy Spirit will come and give us words to speak even when we're persecuted. The last thing that Matt challenged us with was to endure through the difficulties. How many of you have discovered that after accepting the Lord that your life got harder? Okay, good participation. I like that. Thank you, guys. It is amazing how the more that you have a desire to draw closer to Jesus, you have an enemy that wants to hinder you from doing it. You have an enemy that will do whatever he can to keep you from being at church, to keep you from volunteering and serving, to keep you from experiencing a mission trip for over, you know, for 4 days. He'll do whatever he can so that you won't do things that will draw you closer to him. And he's good at it. But even in that time, when things will get ugly, he said, some of your family may even turn on you. Brother will betray brother. Father will betray children. Children will betray their parents. No matter how ugly things may get, what was his encouragement? Keep the faith. Stay focused and remember your calling. See, Jesus wanted them to understand, don't look too far ahead. Focus on the future. Focus on the present. This is what I'm expecting of you. And then Jesus would go on from verse 14 and tell them about the future events. He tells them several things will take place, again, both near and far. Things that will happen within their time frame and things that will happen later in the future. And this is where I want to draw our attention, because I want us to see it from an end times time chart to hopefully make this a little bit more understandable. And so what I want to do is I want to just point out really quickly that when Jesus in verse 2 predicted that the temple would be destroyed, this was the event that would, again, happen in the near future and much further in the future. This near event of the temple being destructed, remember, as awesome as that temple may have looked, it was destroyed. What Jesus said came true. And listen to this. He never gave them a time frame when it would take place, but listen to this, or look at this. On this timeline, here is where Jesus was crucified. Here's the line pointing upward where he resurrected. And it would be after this conversation, when Jesus was having it with the disciples, was just 3 days before he would die. And as Jesus predicted that the temple would be destroyed, this first next line here, the temple was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. It happened. And one of the things that I want to just make sure that you understand and I want to point out is this. 37 to 40 years after Jesus' death and what he said came true. It happened. And it's not just because of what I say, but now let me show you another photo This, again, was taken in March when we were there. This back wall here is the ramp that leads up into the Temple Mount. On the other side of this wall is this wall, and it continues, which is what we consider the west wall, where the Wailing Wall is. This is just the southwest corner. But notice the destruction. Look at this pile of stones. These are the original stones that were thrown down from the temple when it was destroyed by the Romans. It's still there to this day. They've cleaned up some of it, but this has remained. And look at the damage to the road that was once there. And all of this was debris left over from the temple that Herod built that they would later destroy in 70 AD. It happened. You can go there today. You can buy a plane ticket and see exactly this. And the reality is, this was the event that took place that was near. Now, the temple that was destroyed in 70 AD was a foreshadow of another temple that would be destroyed, or remember what verse 14 said. Jesus warned them, when you see this abomination of desolation, when the temple would be defiled, when the Antichrist will come, and he will, listen, at that time, declare himself God, and he will put up an image within the temple, defile the temple, and force people to worship him. When will that take place? If you notice on this timeline, you go from this temple that was destroyed, then you go back up here, and in this time frame, this in between these two thick black lines is known as the tribulation period. The event that happened in verse 14 is right here in the center, 3.5 years into a 1-week covenant that the Antichrist would make with the nation of Israel. It is here where that temple, again, the far future, where this temple that would be rebuilt will be destroyed. Now, let me fill in a few gaps for you, okay? Remember with me, Matt pointed out Daniel's prophecy. You guys remember that? Show of hands if you remember that. All right, awesome. In Daniel's prophecy, Daniel chapter 9, in verse 24, it says 70 weeks are determined for your people and your holy city, or your city. Daniel's people are Israel, and the city is Jerusalem. So this was a specific prophecy. So 70 weeks, there's a time frame. God gave Daniel a time frame when all of these things would happen. 70 weeks are determined for your people. In verse 25, the time frame begins, it says here, from the commandment to rebuild the city. Now, if you were to look back into the scriptures, this 70 weeks will begin when God would use a pagan king by the name of King Artaxerxes to grant Nehemiah the ability to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the city. We actually have a date of that day. It's been recorded. And that date is March 14th, 445 BC. On that date started the 70 weeks that were determined for Israel. Now, what I want you to see is this. From the time of that commandment all the way, listen, to verse 26 of Daniel chapter 9, after the Messiah would be cut off, this is where the time frame, the timeline stops. It has a pause. So let me explain. From March 14th, 445 BC, all the way up until Jesus' death and his resurrection, listen, from that time frame up to here, 69 weeks have been completed of the 70 that Daniel prophesied of. What's 70 minus 1? You guys are good. You guys are awesome. So from the time of the decree that went out up to the cross, if 69 weeks have been completed, where is the last week to fulfill this prophecy? The tribulation period, which is 7 years. It will happen here. Daniel's prophecy will be complete here. Now, here's another thing As you look at this chart, we have 70 weeks. 69 is here, 70 is here. What's missing? We don't know when that last week will begin. We know of an event called the rapture of the church, but we have no idea when this will take place. The rapture of the church, what we believe here at Calvary, is when God will say enough is enough, and he will come and he will remove the church from the world. And when that takes place, they will be with him. And I'm going to point out a scripture to you in just a minute, but the Lord will take the church away, the light, everything that is good in this world will be taken away that love Jesus. The church will be taken away. That's when that last week will resume. And that last week, again, will fulfill the 70 week here. So we're on a pause. And if you notice, according to this time frame, after Jesus' resurrection, there's a line here. Notice this little divot. It goes down, it goes up until the thick black line. This time frame is known as the church age. Now, I want you to see a miracle. After the temple was destroyed in 70 AD and God's people were scattered all over the world, they had no home. Literally 1,800 and something plus years later, on May 14th, 1948, Israel would become a nation once again. God would bring them back home and they would be declared as a nation once again. This is an amazing miracle. Listen, it's so funny when I think back and I visit people in Texas, relatives I don't even know, you know what I mean? Like, this is so-and-so cousin and what have you. And like, oh, that's cool, what's up? Like, I'm glad they're like way back then, right? But the reality is I want you to see this. If you were to come across a long lost cousin 1,000 years later, do you think they would actually remember you? Do you think they would remember the family traditions? Do you think they would know all about how awesome your dad cooked brisket? Shout out to my dad, right? Would they know any of that 1,800 years later? Absolutely not. But the nation of Israel has come back after all that time. They're a nation and they've kept everything, their language, their beliefs, everything. That's an amazing miracle. And the reality is that has happened. Again, it's dated May 14th, 1948. Israel became a nation after being scattered after the destruction of the first temple. Now, this is kind of cool. Look at this line. This is where we're at today. Now notice how close we are to this line of this event taking place that we have no idea when, but look at how close we are. The disciples thought it's happening here. Look at, we're still waiting. But I can tell you this, we're a lot closer than them, right? We're a lot closer. Jesus is going to come. And when that day comes, not because I say so, but because the word of God says so, why I believe that the church will be raptured before the tribulation period, listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. This is what it says. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the trumpet of God, with the voice of a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And this, listen carefully, and this we shall always be with the Lord. We will always be with him from that point on. When he comes for the church, we will be taken out of this world. Can we say amen to that? Amen. Now, some of you might have heard, well, how do you know that the rapture is real? The word rapture isn't even in the Bible, and I guarantee you it's not in the Bible. Same way that the word Trinity is not in the Bible. But the reality is if you look up that word caught up, where is it at? Right here. You look up the word caught up, and what does it mean? In Greek, harpazo, which means to take hold of, to seize, to snatch up. If you look up the word in Latin, it says rapto, if I said that correctly, but it also takes on the English word rapture. The reality is there's going to come a time, and we don't know when, but Jesus is going to shout. It's going to sound pretty awesome. I don't know what it's going to sound like. It's probably going to have a little jazz in it. You know what I mean? I love jazz. I don't know. But the reality is when we hear this trumpet sound, those who love the Lord, those who have believed in the gospel and understand the meaning of why Jesus died for the sins of the world and have received that gospel will be caught up in the air. Those who have passed away before us will rise up first. We will follow, and it says that we will meet Jesus in the air. And the second reason why I believe that the church will be raptured is because don't forget that in the 7-year tribulation period, it's when God's wrath will be poured out. And I do not believe that God is going to allow the righteous to be judged with the unrighteous. So the reality, as what we believe here at Calvary, is that the church will be raptured before the tribulation period. Now, one of the other things that I want to point out really quickly is this. As the church is removed here, again, there's a 7-year time period. And the first 3.5 years, this is what many believe will take place. There will be chaos. You know, have you ever seen some of the Left Behind movies? Who's seen them? 1 minute you see somebody talking and driving a car, and the next minute all you see is their clothing. I don't know if it's going to happen like that. Okay, but it's going to happen so quick that we're just going to be gone. It's just that quickly it's going to happen. And when that happens, there's going to be some chaos in the beginning. And those who don't know the Lord, those who have denied the Lord, they're going to come up with a story, and they may say things like they were caught up by aliens. They're going to say different things. But there's going to be a good number of people who know what happened. Those people who went to church, those people who heard about the end times, and those people who chose to ignore it. There's still hope. So pay attention. But the reality is there's going to be some chaos at the very beginning of this 7-year tribulation. And this is where, again, the Antichrist that was mentioned in Daniel's prophecy will appear. When he appears, what is he going to do? He's going to bring order. He's going to bring peace among enemies. He's going to actually be a friend to Israel, building up their trust in him. And at the very beginning, if you go back to Daniel's prophecy, chapter 9, verse 27, it is here where the Antichrist will confirm a covenant with many, including the nation of Israel, for 1 week. And that 1 week represents this last time frame. So this is where it will take place, that last 70 week. There'll be peace. And this is where people believe that the next temple will be rebuilt. For those of you who don't know this, to this current day, right now, there are people who have built and have continued to prepare for the next temple that will be built. There's a menorah that's already been built to size. There are all of the other furniture that was in the tabernacle, in the temple, that have been made. They're just waiting for the ability to build this temple. Everything's been placed, you know, in order. And the reality is that when this Antichrist comes and brings order and brings peace, they're going to figure out where the Jewish people can build their temple. And once they build it, they're going to go back to offering sacrifices. So for the first 3.5 years of this 7-year period, everything's going to kind of be pretty cool. It's going to be, you know, for them, we're at peace. We get to worship God the way we want. Could this really be our Messiah? And what will happen? If you go again, look further. After the first 3.5 years, here is where verse 14 will come to life, and the abomination of desecration happens, because it is here where the Antichrist will declare himself to be God. It is there where he will stop all of the sacrifices in the temple. It is here where he will set up an image and he will force people to worship. It is here where he will force people, listen carefully, to take the mark of the beast. And the reality is this, if you don't take that mark, major consequences will take place. You won't be able to buy, you won't be able to sell, you will be martyred. In that tribulation period, in that last 3.5 years, it is going to get ugly. If you think it is ugly now, it's going to be magnified 100 times fold. And the reality is that when all of that stuff happens, okay, there's still going to be 3.5 years. You read Revelation chapter 4 all the way to verse 19. All of those chapters describe what is going to take place in the last 3.5 years. And after that, now we're getting into our Bible study. Verse 24. That was just the intro. Y'all laughing. I'm serious. From verse 24 up to verse 27, it is Jesus pointing further after the tribulation period to Jesus' second coming. So after intense persecution, after God pours out his wrath on those who rejected him, a variety of things are going to happen. A catastrophic disturbance. Notice it says that the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give any light, the stars of heaven will fall. In other words, there won't be any more stars. The powers in the heavens will be shaken. Everything will be completely out of whack. And when that all happens, again, there's further references. You can look up Isaiah chapter 13, verse 10, Joel chapter 2, verse 30 to 31, and Revelation chapter 16 to verse 10. These all describe some of the things that will take place before Jesus' second coming. But as soon as those things are complete, the Son of Man will come in the clouds, verse 26, with great power and glory. Here's where it gets exciting for us as believers, because if we do believe in pre-tribulation, that we will be caught up with the Lord and we will not experience the tribulation period, this is where it gets fun. We will come back with the Lord during his second coming. During his second coming, he will come, according to Revelation, on a white horse with all of his saints. And guess who that is? All the believers who have put their trust in the gospel. That means I got to learn how to be a cowboy. Going to be riding a horse along with every other believer. If you like horses, praise the Lord. Going to have to learn how to do that. But on that day, we will come and everybody will have the ability to see Jesus coming. The Son of Man, the right Messiah, the true God coming. And I want to point this out really quick. Let's go back to the timeline really quick. When it comes to end times and when it comes to the gospel, this is so important that you do not miss, because this is the message that we want people to understand and know. And that is, if you can remember that God loves you and that his first coming, he came to do what? To die and to save us from sin. His second coming, he's coming not as the lamb, he's coming as the lion. And he's coming to rule and reign. He will put an end to the Antichrist. He will put away to all of the madness that has happened in the last 3.5 years. He will deal with sin. And listen carefully, in his second coming, he will reign, listen carefully, as the rightful king on this earth, establishing God's kingdom. Now, remember, listen carefully. Remember, he's saying all of this before the cross. So for the disciples who understood that the Messiah would come and establish the kingdom immediately, they had a wrong misunderstanding. Because notice, even all of this time, we have no idea when the clock will pick back up, but there'll be another 7 years. There will be another 1,000 years before Jesus wins and restores everything at the very end, which is here in Revelation chapter 21. Verses 1 and 2, where the new heavens and the new earth is restored. This is the timeline that is still yet to come. And it is so important that as Jesus has been sharing this with the disciples, he's sharing it with us today because we need to know these things. And the reality is that after Jesus' second coming, after he puts an end to the Antichrist, he will be here on the earth reigning for 1,000 years. But here's the crazy thing. At the end of this 1,000-year millennial reign, what will take place? Satan will have one last opportunity to fight against the Lord and his people. And what's crazy, listen, is he's actually still going to deceive people to follow him. Even after that of seeing God's goodness on the earth. Jesus will finally defeat him and throw him in the lake of fire here. And then what are the next few events that are going to be important? The great white throne judgment, where everyone will stand before the Lord. This is speaking of those who are not saved. Everyone will give an account to what they did with the gospel. And then notice this, those whose names are not found in the book of life will be thrown in the lake of fire. Then new heavens and the new earth will take place. That's the timeline. And I don't want you to get caught up with this, because for those of you who have studied the Bible, how many of you have heard that there's four different end time views? Okay, many of you heard that. Okay. Now, what I want to remind you is, whether you're pre-tribulation, post-tribulation, whether you believe there's no tribulation, here's the important thing. Don't miss this. You ready? Jesus wins. People may say, no, we're going to experience half of the 3.5 years. You know what? When Jesus comes, we'll find out. Right? When he comes, we will find out. But again, I personally believe this, and if you disagree, that's okay. I still have the mic. And so the reality is don't get so caught up, but just know the truth. What does Jesus want us to do now before that time comes? Don't be deceived. Don't be troubled. No persecution's coming. Stay the course. That's my encouragement to you. You're going to hear all kinds of different stories. You're going to hear all kinds of different things that people will believe will happen. That's why it's important to know the word. That's why it's important to know a timeline. That's why it's important to know that Jesus wins. And so the reality is Jesus went on, and I'm going to wrap this up. You guys are going like, no, you're not. Yeah, yes, I am. He goes on to say, I'm going to appear in his second coming. Verse 26, everybody will see Jesus coming in his power and in his glory. Verse 27, it says here very clearly that he's going to send his angels out, and he's going to bring in the elect from all four corners of the world, from those in the earth and those in heaven. Listen, in the very beginning in Genesis, God made a promise to his people. In the book of Romans, God continued to remind, listen, us as Gentiles, the only reason why we've been given the grace of God and having been grafted into this amazing plan of everlasting life was because of the hardness of the Jews, and they turned away. But God's not done with them. This is a prophecy for them. This is what God promised, and he will keep his promise. The nation of Israel is not done with. The reality is they are going to be there. And when he brings all of those together in this one last portion of scripture in verse 27, listen, I believe it's speaking of those Jews who denied him in the beginning, but now understand and know who he is. Those Gentiles who may have received him during that tribulation period, all of those as well. And what I want us to see here is this. This is going to be an amazing thing that I pray will stick with us, and we will always know that when these things happen, we know that Jesus is, again, closer and closer to fulfilling everything he said he would do. Let's pick up verse 28. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branches has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Now, I want to quickly describe this, but what I want us to understand and know is this. Jesus wanted the disciples, again, the four men that he's talking to privately, take note of this. I'm going to give you an example. And he points out a fig tree. Now, a fig tree was a tree that all Jewish men would have known. It's one of the most popular trees of all Israel. And he says, you guys understand and know. You see these trees all the time. You know when they're getting ready to, you know, when the seasons change. And when you look at the actual branches and see that they're tender, you already know that other branches are going to stem off of it. You know that there's going to be fruit a few months down the line. You already know what's next. And as much as you know that truth about a fig tree, everything that I just told you, this parable, this story, come alongside a spiritual truth, everything that Jesus just told them will come to pass. I'm giving you these signs. And in the same way, understand and know this, destruction is coming. And as it comes, these are the signs when it'll finally arrive. I'm giving you all of this and you can trust my word. Again, looking back on our timeline, looking back on when Jesus declared the prediction of that temple being destroyed, it was destroyed. All of the things that Jesus said prior to his crucifixion came to be. He told about events that would happen and they're happening. You and I can trust the word of God. You and I can trust what Jesus says. And the reason being is because Jesus is the Word and the Word is God and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and we beheld his glory as the only begotten Son. You and I can trust his Word. Listen, if you get anything out of this one particular portion, this is it. Understand and know it is the gospel that saves people, not good works. Not amount of good deeds that you do, not amount of money that you can give to the church, not anything other than believing in the gospel message and why Jesus came. That is why it's so important. And when Jesus said, this world will fade away, this world will be destroyed, when sin entered the world, it wasn't only humans that were, you know, leading on that path of destruction, it was the world. The world in itself would experience all of this destruction as well. The world's going to fade away. But notice what he says, verse 31, my word will by no means pass away. This is why it's so important for us as a church to remain focused and teach and preach the word of God, that we would teach the whole counsel of God. Let's pick up verse 32. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Verse 34, he goes into another parable. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. So here in this last section, and as we wrap it up, worship team, go ahead and come on forward. I want you to see this. Jesus himself said this, no one knows the hour, the day or the hour when all of this will take place. We have some key events that we know. We have this 70-year or the 70-week prophecy of Daniel. We know where it all falls, but we don't know all the time frames that will take place, when that rapture will happen to begin the clock once again. There are going to be a lot of things that we're going to be blessed to see and will come to existence. But the reality is this. The only one who knows is the Father. He's the only one. So may we not get so caught up in only thinking about the end time and forget how we're to live today. It is so important that we see what Jesus meant by this parable. When he talks about this man who goes off to a faraway place, this is speaking of Jesus. Jesus gave us as disciples a command, and that was to go and to make disciples and to, listen, teach and preach all nations. We are to tell people how good God is. These are our marching orders. Same way that this man gave instructions to his servants. While I'm away, stay busy. He says, you don't know when I'm going to come back. And when I come back, I don't want to find you sleeping. He gave four different time frames in this parable. Evening, midnight, when the rooster crows, or early in the morning. We don't know. But the reality is this, and my encouragement to us is don't be caught sleeping. My encouragement to us as followers of Christ, understanding and knowing the time frame that we just covered, I hope and pray that what we discussed and what your further studies will take you in discovering what will take place during that tribulation period, that you would not desire anybody to be a part of it. And that we would be willing to commit to telling other people so they won't experience it. I hope and pray that we're not asleep or in a sense of, hey, I'm good, I'm saved. Don't know about you. That's the wrong attitude to have. Because what we freely have been given, we need to freely give. And the reality is the only reason why we are saved is because of God's grace. We have nothing to do with it. It's all about what he has done for us. And I hope and pray that we would be busy about our Father's business, that we would continue to endure what's going on in our world, that we would continue to share the gospel. All he's asking us to do is share. You and I can't convert anybody. It's God who does it. That should give us some peace knowing, hey, if they reject me, okay. I'm not the one who changes their heart. It's only God. I just need to plant the seed. Plant it. Plant it, beloved. Don't miss out on the privilege that we have today to help change somebody's destiny from going into hell and ushering them into heaven. That's what Jesus' point was. No matter what time it is, let's make sure that we're going about our Father's business, that we don't forget our calling, that we don't forget that our responsibility, our task is just to share about the goodness of God. Father, I want to thank you so much for this morning. I want to thank you for your word. And I do pray, God, that as we've gone through this chapter, that again, you would be the one teaching us more of the events to come. I pray that today, Lord, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, that, Lord, if there is anybody here who was able to receive and walk through this timeline and see the things that are about to unfold. Again, we don't know the hour or the day, but we do know that what Jesus said will come to pass. And if that last portion before the new heaven and the new earth is created, that if that stuck out to you, that those names who are not written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire, if that frightened you, I pray that you would understand and know it doesn't have to remain there. That can change today. That you yourself can believe in the gospel, in the good news of why Jesus came to die and to save us. Again, we looked at it. He first came into this world to save us. The second time he comes, he's going to deal with sin. He will deal with justice and he will establish God's kingdom. And the ones who will get to enjoy being with him for all eternity are those who believe by faith in Jesus' finished work on the cross. And if this is you today, I want to just ask right where you're at. This is an invitation to you from the Lord. That if you want to get your heart right with God and you want to be saved from that penalty of sin, that you would not experience eternal separation, then I want to invite you to get your heart right with God. And if that's you this morning, it's just a prayer. Believing, confessing, and receiving Jesus into your heart. And if this is you, just right where you're at, slip up your hand, and it would be an honor to lead you to getting your heart right with God. Praise the Lord. I see your hand off to my right. Anyone else? Father, I want to thank you for the hand that was raised, and I pray that if there's others here who would have a desire to, even though your hand may not have gone up, but you wanted it to, for whatever reason it didn't, can I just encourage you with this? It's not the raising of your hand that saves you, it's your heart. It's believing. So anybody can pray this prayer to receive Jesus this morning. So I invite anybody, if you have a desire to get your heart right with God, repeat this prayer with me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross. And I've learned today that he died for the sins of the world, that he died for my sins. So God, I come before you and I confess I've sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? For I believe by faith in Jesus' finished work on the cross. I believe by faith in his death and his resurrection. I believe by faith that my sins can be forgiven and I'm at peace with God. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and for saving me. Would you please come into my life and teach me your ways? And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.